Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint. It is Tuesday, the 5th of July. Listen to Viewpoint, Talk Radio Europe's current affairs programme with a panel of invited guests or invited guests. We discuss the issues of the day or just life in general. On today's show, we'll be looking at a variety... Well, we're not looking at a variety of subjects because I'm off on my holidays next week. So I thought we'd do something a little bit different than we normally do because we've been hitting the ball back and forth in Wimbledon parlance. For the past couple of weeks, so I'm going to be joined in the studio by Kit Hogg, who is making an appearance. And we're going to be talking about the Spanish experience, the expat experience, and various bits and pieces. Good morning to you, Kit. How are you?
Good morning, Charles. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. We're not going to be discussing the issues today. We're going to talk about the issues that reflect on the expat experience, the moving back, the moving forth, the Brexit, the expat, the Brexpat. You name it, you've done it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a year since I've been on your program.
Good grief! And does the time fly when you're having fun?
Everyone looks a lot older than 12. It looks like they've aged more than 12 months. Me included. No, Matt, I'm not referring to you, of course. Although you have lost weight, Charles.
Yeah, it's clean living in regular prayer.
Yeah, are you eating these days?
Yeah, I am indeed. Yes, solids and everything. So there you go. Anyway, we'll be looking at
teeth.
Yeah, we'll be looking at new teeth. We'll be looking at those bits and pieces. But first of all, let us have a look at today's news. Today's news is going to be one of those shows. I have a feeling. Today's news, which the following, making the front pages. Many of the front pages focus on how much the Prime Minister knew about the conduct of MP Chris Pincher prior to appointing him as Deputy Chief Whip. Daily Mirror goes with the headline, I did know about Pincher after Number 10 confirmed Boris Johnson was aware of reports of sexual misconduct when he brought the MP back into government. Despite its initial denials, the ISIS ministers are increasingly unwilling to defend Mr. Johnson, and officials have had to allow cabinet ministers to deviate from the government's official line to persuade them to undertake media appearances. The Guardian says two trade unions have written to Commons Speaker Sir Lindsay Hoy, urging him to take action to make Parliament a safer workplace for their members. The Daily Express leaves the story off its front page, but a report inside the paper highlights what it calls despicable attempts by Tory backbenchers to use the scandal to attack Mr. Johnson. There's also plenty of coverage of Monday's protests by HGV drivers over fuel prices, which caused widespread disruption on the UK's motorways. The Metro uses the headline, Britain on a Gold, It Goes Slow, alongside a picture of gridlock drivers passing the time by playing football on the empty accompanying carriageway. The Sun says motorists have been driven mad by the disruption, while the Daily Mail claims the Home Secretary, Priti Patel, has told police forces to arrest protesters in an effort to deter disruptive demonstrations. The Times runs quotes from a Home Office source saying the minister has made it clear to police forces that she expected them to utilise stronger powers they've been given recently to halt protests or explain why officers are not. Meanwhile, the Financial Times warns of further widespread travel disruption later this summer as unions representing train drivers, ticket office workers and railway station staff all hold ballots on possible strike action. Daily Telegraph leads on reaction to Sir Keir Starmer's announcement that he would not attempt to take the UK back into the EU or single market if Labour wins the next election, saying the move has sparked clashes within the party. Writing in the Times, former Conservative Party leader Lord Hague backs Sir Keir's stance and makes a plea for all parties to focus on developing ideas on how to reap some benefits from Brexit, rather than continue to bicker over the UK's place in Europe. Telegraph also features news of a cricket club in Sussex abandoning tradition in an effort to get more girls to play the sport. It says Lewis's Priory Cricket Club lovely part of the world has decided to ditch traditional whites for the first time in its almost 200-year history to reduce the anxiety of female players taking to the field whilst on their special time of the month. Team will don a black kit in future after the club received advice from gender inclusion consultants.
I'm rather hot, black, playing cricket in black.
Yeah, I would have thought sort of pink or something, I don't know, but yeah. Anyway, let's we'll talk about that in a minute. Meanwhile, getting back to your gender inclusion consultant kit. This is something that we've been looking at. I mean, obviously, in the world of tree surgeons, do you have gender inclusion?
I'm no longer in the world of tree surgeons.
You could be a consultant, though, couldn't you?
I could, yeah.
You could be, you know,
sitting on the ground.
You could be say
advising. The gender inclusion.
I identify as a deciduous plant, etc.
I've always been turned on by the idea of a female tree climber, but I've never met one. I think it's to do with upper body strength.
Really? Right then. 952-78-4000 if you want to take Kit to task on that sexist comment. 952-78-4000. Looking at your Spanish press, it is going to be one of those shows. 952-78-4000. Looking at the Spanish papers.
I've got something
for Spanish. Paper,
Jarson. Okay, off you go then, Kit. Crashing like that.
You don't mind me crashing in.
No, please.
Because un jabalí, which is a wild boar.
I am familiar with that concept.
Sale del mar en Alicante y muerde a una mujer que estaba tomando el sol.
Right, and for those of who don't know that, whose Andaluz isn't as perfect as yours.
Translate. Jealousy.
It's a wild boar who's swimming in the sea.
He came out of the sea and bit a woman.
Yes.
Who's lying on the beach.
Yes.
I mean, so watch out if you're sunbathing.
I didn't know about it. You see, when I moved to my place in the lake, I was unaware that boar could actually swim, you see. And this was a big thing. So I was sitting on them and they were frolicking, for better word, on the far bank. And I was thinking, yes, off you go then. And then suddenly, we've got two protruding bits as the reservoir, and one of them suddenly leapt in the water and swam across to the other bank, and I thought, that's all I need now, swimming boar.
Yes, I lost a bull terrier in the river fighting a boar size of a kitchen table. It was a sort of great aqua battle,
yes,
which turned the river red. But that is another story. Let's go back to this one though. I mean, just watch out if you're sunbathing on the sands. This actually happened at Playa Alfas del Pi. So that's in Alicante. The señora was from Cuenca, understandably shaken and treated for her wound, which luckily was superficial. The pig, meanwhile, legged it to a neighbouring campsite where it caused more mayhem. Jaime Rubio, writing in El País, remarks that both the woman and jabalí were at the beach for the same reason, to enjoy the fine weather and bathe in the sun and the sea. And then goes on to ask, which would be more unusual to find on a beach? A woman from Cuenca, which, as you may know, is a long way from the sea.
A very long way from the sea.
Or a wild boar. And he concludes that finding either is highly unlikely, bearing in mind that Cuenca accounts for 0.1% of the Spanish population, and that although there are estimated to be more than a million wild boar in Spain,
really?
Most of them prefer the mountains to the beach.
Exactly, or my garden, or the lovely Elizabeth Wynne's fig patch, which she put on Facebook the other day. They got in the other day, and of course, absolutely. If you ever want to get your garden turned over, get a wild boar. They do more damage what you will know about them than a rotavator will do.
Absolutely, it turns into a war zone.
Indeed, 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Wild boar news apart, and thank you for that, Kit. The Periódico de España has photographs of yesterday's slaying in Chicago. 6 confirmed deaths, of course, from that terrible. Event yesterday, and also it has the fact that the European Union is going to be looking into the recent deaths in Melilla, of course, dozens killed there. Also, El Mundo on the front page of El Mundo, looking at stories there, indeeding Sanchez, and seems to have a conflict going on with Podemos there as well. Rafa is also making the front page of El Mundo, Wimbledon and all that. And El País leading on again, the story between there's a picture of Felipe and the princess in Girona yesterday and also the fact the EU is looking at the unacceptable tragedy they're calling it in Melilla. That's your news. Just see exactly what the front pages are saying in the UK to say exactly what their headlines. Top of my paper pile today is the I. Tory cabinet angry at defending Johnson again. Meanwhile, The Guardian, Parliament urged to act over sexual abuse claims. The Daily Telegraph, Starmer clashes with party on Brexit, and also a picture of Cameron Norrie, the sole remaining Brit in Wimbledon. Britain on a go slow, rail, air, now our motorways come to a standstill. Daily Mail, pretty arrest protest mob, and Mary Helvin, there's a blast from the past, former Mrs. David Bailey, supermodel from the 70s, and she's saying, I'm so broke I may have to work in a supermarket, nothing wrong with that. The Times, get tough with petrol protesters, police told, and also Kyrgios, I probably got that completely wrong, the Australian bad boy of Tennessee's red again. Financial Times leads with masses disruption predicted as national train drivers strike looms. Meanwhile, the Express, Boris tax cuts of £330 for 30 million will ease tough times. Meanwhile, the Sun leads on the arrest of a Premier League footballer on suspicion of rape. It reports the sportsman in his 20s was arrested on the early hours of Monday morning. And finally, Poof Doody headlines The Star as it splashes on hard-up smokers, turning to fake cigarettes, which it claims are filled with insect eggs, fungi, and feces. And meanwhile, they've also got a story on the death of garden gnomes. And those are your nail-biting headlines. Your nail-biting headlines this Tuesday, the 5th of July.
Clear, concise, current reporting throughout the day. TRE, your voice in Spain.
Viewpoint. Live. Giles Brown.
Thank you very much. Live, and straight to the lines. Morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Costabaker.
Good morning, Kate.
A quick reaction to the United Kingdom's news. And I thought, oh my God, thank God, Priti Patel is not in charge of the police force.
Right.
And then I thought, oh my God, she is technically that it's. But the point is, she's imposed some very contentious legislation. I'm not sure of the voting figures on her, the legislation about your right to protest now limited. And she's furious that the police haven't actually locked up all those people who are not.
Well, I mean, the thing was, I think this legislation was brought in for, get rid of Extinction Rebellion and others that were blocking up the roads. And at that point, of course, truckers and other workers were saying, look, we need to get these people off the roads. And now it's the fact that there are truckers and people who are protesting against the fuel prices. And therefore, yes. This wasn't. And I think if Priti Patel starts saying to the police, you're going to have to start arresting HGV drivers, I think it's going to be a case of good luck with that one.
Well, not only good luck, she's promoting, she is actually promoting disturbance.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see how we go with that one. There was a tweet in a Weekend Tory that described her as having all the warmth of a Klingon backstreet. Let's even go there. So
I'm not impressed by comments about her character.
Right.
I'm just saying the stupidity, the lack of judgment of that statement she came out with.
Thank you very much for your call in there, Kate. Always good to have you with us. 952-78-4000. Good morning. Ray says it's lovely to hear Kit again. He hasn't even got warmed up yet, so we'll see how that one goes. And this in from Richard. Good morning. Cuenca is nearer to Madrid than the sea. Plenty of Madrileños on the beach. If one is passionate about the protest, then the threat of arrest or jail is neither here nor there. And that is some quotes coming in on the WhatsApp. Kit.
Jarzy.
Morning, mate. Right.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good, thank you. So, we're going to do things a little bit differently this morning, as I'm sort of a bit demob happy, shall we call it.
Yeah, you're going on holiday?
Well, I'm taking a week off. I know. What could possibly...
Are you actually going away?
I'm doing my elegant slumming again a bit. I'm doing when I look after my friend's rather lovely villa up in the hills above Marbella. So I'm looking after that with hot and cold. The amazing things like electricity, which obviously I don't have at the house. And I'm not using candles, and they've got got fridges and
where is the Sagaletta or something?
No, it's in. I can't reveal the obviously because of my fan base. I can't.
Be papped.
Papped, exactly. Papped. Mobbed by a screaming groupie.
Giles moves to El Madrigal. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, you got security there.
Oh yes, I do indeed. Yeah. So in fact, I come in. Obviously, you can see the bouncers outside when I come in. Anyway, you know.
Yeah, I had to get through them exactly. To get in here. Yeah.
So yes, I'm having a week off, and the eldest goddaughter is coming over as well. You know, the Ziglet.
Lovely.
So the fire breathing burlesque prop mistress with more. Somebody says she's got more tattoos, more ink than an enraged octopus. So there you go.
Lovely. Well, that'll be great. Well, have a lovely holiday.
Yeah, I will do.
I just it's great to be here, and as I said, it's a year since I've been here, and my message is to you listening at home is loud and clear: is do not leave Spain.
Why is that?
Unless you're absolutely sure that that's what you want to do, because once you've left, it is so hard to get back. I mean, that's what I've been trying to do in the last 12
months.
Yeah,
but I've always thought this place is a bit like Hotel California. You can check out any time you like, but you can never leave.
Well, spiritually, maybe you can't leave, but the physicality of leaving has been like rolling an obelisk-sized boulder out of a hollow uphill into another hollow, which was in Wales. Coming back here is to turn around and lever the same boulder out of its new resting place and roll it back, only to find it still uphill, because this time you're heaving it over obstacles like COVID and perniciously, and one feels unnecessarily, Brexit. So, you know, I'm now faced with the prospect of paying customs duty on belongings, many of which I bought in Spain, to bring back here. So while living in the UK and still unsure of what I was going to do, but aware that I needed to keep my options open, I led a double life. So I'm maintaining my residency here, i.e. acquiring a TIE card.
Right.
Which starts with an empadronamiento from an ayuntamiento in a municipality where I no longer live. So that's a little bit dodgy. Applying for a new driving license. My old one had expired. Getting an ETUV on my car, which is still matriculated in Spain. So basically keeping it all legal at this end, liberating two bank accounts, 50% of the money therein, which has been sequestered by the government on the death of my wife, Penny. There's an only in Spain moment I have to share with you. Life assurance. We had a life assurance on Penn's life,
yeah.
Which you would have thought would be paid to the remaining partner automatically on her death. Well, it's not, because 18 months later, I still haven't received any money. Policy, obviously, which had cost us regular payments over some 20 years. The bank's excuse is that payment can only be authorized by the Junta de Andalucía, and the Junta, in turn, require a health certificate that dispels any sense of cynical foul play on our part. I mean, like, you know, if you've got terminal cancer and you go after life assurance policy, that's not playing by the rules. So we have to disprove that and show that Penn had a clean bill of health and that she applied for a life assurance
bona fide.
So that, you know, that's fair enough, but obviously it's a process. So I appoint my Hestor to this task. He's a man with the patience of Job. And last week he called me. He said, hey, Kit, I think we might be getting somewhere. And I said, right. He said, come down to the ambulatorio, the clinic in Sabanillas, and sign a form. The certificate we're waiting for is there. And they'll give it to us, and we present it to the Junta, who in turn instruct the bank, who at some point will pay you the policy. So, yeah, excited. It's baby steps, incremental, but at least it was progress in the right direction. So I meet my Hestor. We go to the ambulatorio, the clinic. Luckily, he's got a spare face mask, which I need in order to penetrate the foyer. And after queuing for some 40 minutes, me signing a document, a woman presents us with a large envelope embossed with the health authority logo, for which I sign another document to the effect that I've received this envelope. My Hestor and I leave the building, retrieving my dog, Brew, who you'll remember.
My temporary emotional support hand.
Yeah. Anyway, he was tethered to a bush outside. And so we come outside with this sort of feeling of muted elation, you know, that a smug disbelief that only descends on one when you've nailed a bureaucratic milestone, you know, like when your car's passed an ETUV or something. And 100 yards, 100 meters or so along the sidewalk, my Hestor is becomes possessed by the instinct to actually open the large embossed envelope, which is big enough for us both to peer inside. And guess what? Guess what? It's empty.
You received an empty envelope.
There's nothing in there. No certificate. I mean, just unbelievable.
So, in the immortal words, Haircut 100, where do you go? Where do you go from here?
Well, back to the ambulatorio and open the envelope and say, "Look, there's nothing inside it." Me having signed for the receipt of what was supposedly inside. Anyway, there it remains. So still no life insurance policy, still waiting for this piece of paper, which has been mislaid somewhere in the bowels of the Ambulatorio de Sabanillas.
Right. Okay, well, we shall watch. Why would you sign anything without checking, comes the question
It was in a big sealed envelope, Charlesy.
Yeah, but it's in Spain. It's Andalusia.
I mean, it never occurred to you.
Just because you have an... You see, that's because you've been living back in the UK, where obviously, you know, people with paper clips and staplers and the whole thing would give you forms and go, you know, here, you know, your certificate is here and it's in the envelope.
Another piece of paper that I can tell you about, I'm talking to my dog, is the animal health certificate.
Which
some of your listeners might be, you know, if you're bringing an animal back into this country post-Brexit. Of course, we used to have a Spanish part, you know, the European passport, but that no longer serves.
Does he get a blue? Did Brew get a British blue pet passport then?
No, the British don't do passports. The British do animal health certificates.
I'd like to see some giving Brew a medical. That'd be fun.
Which I can tell you about. Have we got time to tell you?
We've got time.
I mean, so I'm on the road back to Spain with my dog. It's the first time I brought Brewy back to Spain. Okay, Brewy, by the way, is a rescue. Who I rescued. He was abandoned by the rubbish dump in Casares, which is a pueblo near Galcín, but yes, inland from Estepona.
What sort of, just for those who haven't met the hound, what type of dog is he?
Well, he's known as an American Stamford, which is a Staffordshire Bull Terrier with long legs, distant cousin of the Pit Bull family, a sort of breed of dog that make no apology for their own existence, and thus are prone to notoriety. I mean, if you Google American Stamford, should I get one? The answer is unequivocal. It's probably not.
Right.
This breed is more dog than you bargained for. You might want to choose another. So you know, I mean, I didn't have a choice. That's cheesy, actually, you know, because he just looked at me. You know, yeah, you know what it's like.
The thing is, people go on about these things, about these, you know, these fearsome-looking dogs. And my mate Jerry, good morning to you, who is ex-Spanish Special Forces and now spends his life training, you know, basically rehabilitating fighting dogs, you know, these poor pit bulls and whatever who've been thrown in as bait for other nasty fighting dogs. And he says, that, you know, he rocks up to the casita sometimes, because he lives on kilometre 10. I'm on kilometer 11, and he rocks up sometimes with these beasts, and he said the thing these are fine. He said the things it gets bitten most by are chihuahuas. He said those are the dogs he gets more injuries from. 9527 84000. We're doing something a little bit different with Viewpoint this morning. Sorry if you're calling, and I had a couple of people calling and going, why aren't you doing Viewpoint? Well, the thing is, with Viewpoint, the hint is in the name. I'm not being dismissive, so please get off the horse, but you know, it's a Viewpoint. Okay, so every time I get people calling in saying, you're only talking about British politics. I get people calling in saying, you're not doing enough about Spain. Today, we're just doing a relaxed Viewpoint. So just bear with me on this one and we'll see where we go.
We could talk about that bloke Pincher, couldn't we?
We talk about that Pincher.
I mean, how hysterical is that?
What, the name or just the whole situation? It's not hysterical for being groped by a drunken Tory whip, is it?
Yeah, as a bloke. I mean, he groped two men.
Yes.
I mean, what are those?
Very, very, very drunk.
Are they? And they're getting victim support or something?
Well, probably within the Carlton Club, so probably.
Really? But we're not talking about Pincher. We're actually talking about Brew, who's my dog, who I've brought back to Spain. Now, so the problem I've got with Brewy is that he no longer, even though he's Spanish, to bring him back to this country, I need an animal health certificate. That is something that I get from a vet, which is where I was I go to the vet in Wales and spend £130 on a cursory inspection.
Right.
And I get this animal health certificate. And then with this animal health certificate, you can embark to anywhere in the Kingdom of Schengen and in confidence that you can travel with your vet. So I check in at Portsmouth and I'm presenting our animal health certificate to the woman in the booth at Brittany Ferry. And this was not the bureaucratic triumph that I'd envisaged. She said to me, "You've put that you're going to Spain on this form." I said, "Well, yes, I am going to Spain." And then she said, "But your point of entry is France." "Well, I'm driving through France to get to Spain," yeah, I said reasonably. "Well, we have had passengers turn back at the French border because of incorrect certificates," she replied. It occurred to me that I hadn't actually bothered to read the certificate, so I asked her to pass it back to me. And the word Spain was written in blue biro, occupying a box entitled Destination. But within that box, there was room to put France too. So the solution was blatantly obvious. But by suggesting to the woman in the booth that she amend the form to insert the word France as point of entry while conserving Spain as my destination, I appeared to have impaled her on the horns of a professional dilemma.
Right.
She morphed into a lawyer. "You're asking me to falsify this certificate?" she said. "No, I'm just asking you to write the word France next to Spain in blue biro because I don't have a blue biro." So before assenting to this infringement and the slippery slope into a life of crime, she issued me a condition that she would add the word France to join Spain in the relevant box, as long as I understood that, were I to be turned back by the French, I was liable for my ferry ticket back to Blighty. Brittany Ferries would bear no responsibility. So I accepted this disclaimer without demur, and she borrowed a blue biro from her colleague in the adjacent booth, added the word France to the certificate, which she returned to me with a pet on board sticker, which I've still got on my truck out there.
Pet on board.
Yeah, it's a very smart black paw print on pink.
I tell you one thing.
On a pink roundel.
You could do a roaring trade in Newcastle with that pet on board. for somebody with a new girlfriend, yeah, or a long-term partner.
Right.
I've got my pet on board. Anyway.
Yeah, with the pink roundel.
Exactly.
And the black paw print.
Yeah.
Anyway, I adhered that to my windscreen.
You've got to be at the big market.
And then this woman, she looks out of the booth and she says, "Good luck." In a sort of farewell that was pregnant with foreboding, you know, like a student, you'd be waving the dam busters goodbye, you know, a mission from which I might not return.
That's what I was about to say. Carry on, number two.
So, anyway, on the broad apron of vehicles in static columns beyond which the ferry loomed like an urbanisation, I was directed to the lineup of cars stickered with paw prints from which people were persuading their pets to urinate on unhospitable bald tarmac and not lift their legs on the wheels of fellow passengers. And many would spend the night together in pet-friendly cabins on board, but Brewy slept in the pickup on the car deck, and we're both happy with that arrangement. So then I get to France the next morning, yeah? Passport control. Passport control was an entry. I don't know if you've ever come back into Europe with your TIE card.
No.
It's a lubrication, man. It's fabulous. The pretty little permiso de residencia card issued me by the Spanish government. I mean, I don't know, Gelsie, have you got yours here?
No, because they're there in
life.
You
don't have one.
I have residencia, which I am trying, I've lost. So I am now currently in the throes of trying to get my residencia back, my big green A4 sheet of paper, which I lost when I bought the Freelander several thousand years ago. I'm involved in a myriad of red tape and bureaucracy trying to get that one sorted.
Oh, well, good luck, man. I hope you don't get some evicted.
I'm expecting to end up in Rwanda before the week's out, to be honest with you.
Yeah, never. But if you have a TIE card, do get it out and take a moment to look at it. I mean, Giles, look, there's mine.
Yes.
Check out, man. No.
You've got that sort of three-quarter look on you as well.
It's absolutely brilliant. I mean, it's a veritable thing of beauty, a light refracting mother of pearl work of art.
I'm very impressed by the there's two middle names, by the way.
You're at liberty to reveal them.
No, please. I mean, people might be using it, hacking as your password or something like that. Anyway.
But no, I think it's a wonder. It's my favourite card, definitely. I mean, it's much nicer than my Unicaja card, and it incorporates a sort of swirl of stars, a map of Europe, and on the back, this sort of apparition of a dirigible woman leaning on a recumbent cow. I mean, if you look carefully, there it is. Dirigible woman leaning on the cow.
Yes, can you see that? Yes, I can see that.
You've really got to get yourself one, Charles.
Yeah, I have, just for that alone, I think.
And on mine, my headshot appears at a sort of flattering, jaunty angle.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's not bad, though.
It was at the top of some heart-hitting news column.
Yeah, exactly. That's a sort of Guardian leader piece, isn't it, from our man in Galthine.
No, and not only is this ID card a modern masterpiece, it guarantees a welcome to the land of Schengen. Agents at border control become instantly pliable. I was in Barcelona some months ago, yeah? I landed in Barcelona. The Policía Nacional agent at the check-in became positively matey. He looked at the card and he said, "Tú vives en Galcín? Well, you live in Galcín?" Yeah. And I just went, "Pues claro, like, where else would I want to live?"
Yeah.
And then he said to me, this is coming into Spain.
In Barcelona.
Yeah, in Barcelona. He said, "Soy de Andalucía." He goes, I'm from Andalucía. And I sensed this sort of bond was forming, do you know what I mean? And he says, so I said to him, "Yeah, tú qué haces aquí, trabajando arriba? What are you doing out here?" And then he turned to the woman at the next door booth, and who is still, you know, a woman in a Policía Nacional uniform. They are alluring women in Policía Nacional.
Let's not even go there.
No. Okay.
There's a locale in the village for female, because we've only got four police officers in the village up in my pueblo, and you reach them, there's no Nacional, there's no, because it's not big enough, and there's certainly the Guardia are sort of lurking on the outskirts in Ciprona or whatever, so we have four Nacionales, we have four locales,
yeah,
and you don't dial a number, you have a mobile number, so if you are committing, if you are being a victim of a crime at the time, you may well get put on an answer phone, you know, please call back when you're not being violated or robbed or whatever else. So but there is a ferry. And they work out of a tiny little despacho in the town hall, and so therefore there is, you know, a rather attractive local police officer there. But she's very handy with, you know, when we were in the middle of lockdown, of course, they stormed down to my place because for the first time in my life, I was an essential worker. So I was allowed to travel. But of course, they didn't know this. So when I came bumping down in the Land Cruiser, which is obviously the perfect stealth vehicle, being double the height of anything else and making a noise like somebody rolling back the portal to Hades. And they came rushing down and they leapt out of the car, Santi and Sylvia, and they were body armored up with the batons out. And they went, "Jazz is too." And they were like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Who are we expecting?" You know, so yes, there is something alluring, yes.
She was part of that party.
She was very much part of that party, and yes, she was looking, yes.
I think the Policía Nacional outfit takes the best. I like that.
If you're going to be arrested by female police officers, give us a call 952-78-4000 or your favourite arresting officer you outfit. I'm going to take a quick break and then back with more Viewpoint.
Talk Radio Europe. Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively, somewhat different, joined by Kit Hogg, but we go live to the lines. Morning, calling you live on TRI in this somewhat different Viewpoint. How can we help you today?
Yeah, hi, Giles. It's John and Meehan.
Hi, John.
Your last question was, who would you rather be arrested by?
Yes.
Not having ever been arrested by anybody, I can't directly answer that. Having worked 24 years with the National Police as a voluntary translator and a couple of years with the Guardia Civil, I would suggest it's probably the Guardia Civil, because they are outstandingly more polite to everybody than the National Police.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, my memories of the Guardia Civil are of a 17-year-old on a motorbike in the mid-80s. And I've also had great respect for the Guardia Civil, because in the 80s, you did not muck. Rather than in the UK, where people tend to be a little bit, shall we say, disparaging towards the forces of law and order, were with the Guardia Civil in the 80s, and this is when they had the old Guardia Civil, was it the three-cornered hats, etc. You certainly didn't muck around with them.
Yeah, that's true. But I say that I used to run five teams of volunteers at different police stations, and I lost more volunteers, particularly lady volunteers, through the rudeness of the police to them than for any other reason.
Oh, okay. Well, that's an interesting point indeed, Kit.
Can you discern the different roles? But because it seems to me that we are hugely over-policed here in Spain. We have the Policía Locales, we have the Guardia Civil, we have the Policía Nacional.
Okay, the Policía Local are effectively traffic wardens with guns. They work for the local town hall. They do have power to arrest. But if they arrest you, they have to take you to, might I say, the real police. I'm a bit biased because I'm ex-copper.
Right.
They take you to the real police. That's the national police or the Guardia. The national police are the real police, as we would know police, in the towns and the cities and airports. And the Guardia Civil are the real police outside the towns and cities and at ports. That more or less is the dividing line. But on the numbers of police, last time I went to, they have their patron saint's day, which I used to get invited along to when they present plaques and medals and God knows what else. I am astounded. I was always astounded by the number of local policemen from that area, national police, who turn up to that event. I mean, I think on the last time I counted something like 170 police. In England, in a similar town, there would probably be 30 at
right.
the most. Most of whom would actually, in my day, would have been engaged in the office or non, as you could say, policing activities. And also in Spain, I know because I worked with the police that for all the police that you see on the streets, and there seem to be quite a lot, there's probably an equal number in plain clothes who look like drug addicts or layabouts or sleeping rough or whatever. Mm. They are out there, but most people would have no idea they're being policed and protected, should I say, in such a way.
Like the police on French box sets. They were like complete freaks. But it would be very interesting to know the actual number of police here in Spain compared to England, to Great Britain.
I say, looking at the police in Fuengirola, there are several times more police. I think in England it used to be like 120,000 in Great Britain. There must be an awful lot more than that in Spain, considering that there's what, two-thirds of the population of, in Spain compared with the UK as well. So
just a quick one, John. I mean, is it very much, do you think the number of Spanish police is because it's very much a family thing? I mean, we're forever used to seeing those cop shows, aren't we, within the States, where it's, like shows like all of the film like Copland. And I've got a very good friend of mine. He was Metropolitan Police. His son is Metropolitan Police, and his grandson has just become and join the Metropolitan Police. So is it sort of the reason that there are so many places because it is almost like it is a family tradition, do you think, in Spain as well, more so than the UK?
I don't know. I don't know about Spain. Certainly in the UK, having been in a police office for 30 years, I discouraged either of my children from becoming police officers and discouraged my friends, relatives and distant acquaintances because it's such an awful job in England now, being a police officer, which sort of takes us back to this, which I haven't looked at
it. It became an awful job, John. Why? Sorry to interrupt you. Why? But why?
Well, because police aren't allowed to do their job in the UK. I mean, they're there with their hands tied behind their back. And that's the reason, I believe, why they pass laws which seem so draconian, like shouting on a demonstration. It's not because they're going to arrest people for shouting on a demonstration. It's because they need to have the power to do their job. Mm. And unfortunately, in England, it's now become that a police officer does something, immediately some lawyers step in, find some obscure reason why they didn't get it right, and the person walks. Whereas in the old days, it was more or less you arrested someone for doing something, the person would say, yeah, fair enough, fair cop, I did it, and they'd go to court. They wouldn't, like, contest the minutiae of the law.
How's that affected the morale in the police in Great Britain?
My son has several friends in Thames Valley Police, and they all can't wait to leave.
Interesting.
I mean, without a doubt, they all can't wait. In my day, nobody wanted to leave. Almost everyone did 30 years and then tried to stay on for the few extra years or whatever. Yeah.
Interesting point. Thanks for the calls in there on 9.
Okay, Charles.
Thanks very much indeed. And if you want to get involved and get your viewpoints on today's little bit different format today's show, here are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio.
Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And some WhatsApps coming in. This has oddly become an episode of Alan Partridge, somebody says. Aha, knowing me, knowing you. The reason that you respected the Guardia Civil in the 80s, Charles, is because the Guardia Civil were armed, abso-bleeding lootly. No one wants to leave. You could be out. You know, no one wanted to leave, says another WhatsApp. No one wanted to leave because they had a final salary, pensions, and 30 years service. You could be out in your 50s. Know the feeling. Meanwhile, good morning to Angela. He says, hi, Charles. Just to say how good it is to hear Kit again on the radio. Had the pleasure of meeting him again at a recent Campo party. This is obviously the 91st birthday bash. Say hello from me and great to have you back. You two should broadcast together every day. Brilliant. And
is that Angela?
It's Angela.
Oh, yes. Hi, Angela.
It is indeed. And good morning to Lorraine, who says, relaxed version of Viewpoint. Hey, nice. Thoroughly... You remember that from the Fire Show, didn't you?
Nice.
Thoroughly enjoying today's programme. Considered myself embroiled in bureaucratic shenanigans, but your guest is facing all his difficulties with humour and charm. I wish him luck with everything. Thank you very much, Lorraine.
Sweet. Thanks, Lorraine.
If you want to get involved with today's laid-back viewpoint, nice, then the numbers are 9527 8 4000. It's to the lines we go. Morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yes, hello, good morning. This is Terry from Cowpay.
Good morning, Terry.
And I've got to say that I'm a little bit disappointed and disgruntled with you, Giles.
Okay.
Yes, last week I called in, which I thought was a valid point of view, seeing that 99% of your listeners are people regulars, and I pointed out that there was an awful lot of reminding people all the addresses and the way of getting in touch with TRE. And then afterwards you deliberately verbalised the whole system, and then you played the automatic version,
yep,
making your point. And I thought that was, for you, a little bit childish, just to let you know what I thought.
Okay, well, thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
All right. And there you go. 95278. Oh, I shouldn't be doing that again. Sorry. 99% are regulars. How does he know? Because that's coming in on the WhatsApps. Because he does, okay? I mean, not for me to question why, just for me to clean the sty. But the reason I keep repeating is people say I didn't have the number there. But please, please feel free to chastise me. Because, hey, I'm a big Allman Brothers fan and my favourite track is Whipping Post.
Loves it.
Kit, you were saying.
Yeah. So, let's go back to me arriving in France with my dog,
yeah,
with this hard-won animal health certificate, because Brexit no longer validates and bringing an animal in on a European passport. So I wake up, I'm in France, I'm in the queue to get off the boat in Caen, which is it's actually not Caen, it's called Ouistreham or somewhere. It's a port outlying Caen.
Caen was a major thing during the Normandy, the Battle for Normandy.
Yeah, well, we've moved on a bit since then. You probably wouldn't recognise it.
All right.
Anyway, so I hand over my passport with my wonderful TIE card.
With the rather dashing photograph.
Absolutely. And they say, you have a news column, obviously, in hard-hitting... No, the French border control handed me back my ID and waved me on. So I was through, but what about Brew, my dog?
Yes.
So I read the outlandishly amended animal health certificate, which you'll remember.
How does Brew react, by the way, to men, women, and whatever in uniform? Is he a good boy? Does he look up and wag his tail?
He's very cool. He's much cooler than I am.
Okay,
he's
cool.
He's kind of nonchalant, really. So I'm driving towards passport control in Caen with the animal health certificate. And with it, pet control. So that I've done passport control. I'm now going to customs and pet control. There's a fork in the road, the left-hand side of which was preceded by a sign indicating pet control. But from the junction, I could make out a checkpoint some 75 metres away, notable for its dormancy. It appeared that there was no one there.
Right.
There were no cars queuing, nor was there a high-vis jacket tunnelling me in its direction. The right-hand fork felt the obvious choice. I took it and drove into France. So I didn't need the form. There was
after
no
all that. Yes, but you see, way,
yes,
it's that. That I know is, what you're that, is say. That is the lure the option. If you do not have the you know the documentation, then they will ask you for it.
For sure.
For sure.
You have, yes, forewarned is forewarned is forearmed.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I know that. It's sod's law. Am I allowed to say that on the radio?
We just have done, so therefore, and you know, unless we get another screaming complaint. By the way, how does these are coming in? Fast show, nice. I'm getting a lot of gifts, whatever you call them, of that nice from the fast show.
Nicey and who was that?
Smashy Nicey, that was different. But nice, no. Nice, Smashy Nicey with
the... Oh, that was so... So funny.
Is, you ain't seen nothing
I love
yet,
those guys.
Backman Turner Overdrive. But nice is the jazz guy. From the, how does Terry know that 99% of the listeners are annoyed by this? Also, Peter comes in. 73.4% of statistics are made up on the spot. If you build it, they should come. If you come in with a call like that, you know, it's like Gladiator. I don't know what's going to come through those doors.
Nice
but we get a better chance of survival if we all stick together. Are you not entertained? Kit.
So, 18 months of the emotional tundra of living in Blighty. I'm back now, and I'm looking for a place to live. A new home, in fact. Unsurprisingly, I returned to the Pueblo, where we had arrived as a young family in the 90s, and I've jumped back into village life. Giles, you would be proud of me. I've joined the gym.
Right.
I've joined...
Is this in the municipal?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Presumably there's a... This is one of the things about Pueblos in Spain, because I've got one in my Pueblo. You get the piscina municipal...
And you go to the gym,
yeah.
Giles? Really?
No. Okay. I don't go to the gym.
No, I think so.
I was... And we'll be back after the break. No,
you're breaking up.
I can't afford the faders. What I was saying was that there's a municipal gym, and you always get the gym. There's a climbing wall in Istan. We have a climbing wall.
Don't have one of those.
And of course, you've got a bar in the middle of the by the piscina municipal.
We've got paddle, which is a strange sport. I observe it from the gym window while I'm doing my leg extensions. And it's lovely, it's sweet, but it seems to be a sport for people who aren't necessarily gifted athletes. In Galicien, at any rate.
You can stand still and hit the ball, basically.
Yeah, it's very sweet. It's like sort of life-size ping pong.
Bat and ball for grown-ups.
Yes. I've joined a brilliantly led writers group, which is led by Joe Hepplewhite, who used to appear at Home with the Hogs regularly. I joined the village choir, which is...
Is this the
it's hilarious,
the
man.
The Galthine...
Coro de Galthine.
I think the Galthine Gargolas.
It's convened by an archetypal choir mistress who's like a headmistress. And, I mean, the other day I had a go at the altos for not really giving it in California Dreaming. We do California Dreaming.
Right.
And the altos lead California Dreaming.
This is an English choir.
Yes. No, it's mixed.
Right, you're actually singing in English, you're not...
No, there are Spanish songs. We sing a song called Ay Linda Amiga,
right,
which is really dreary.
Okay.
We sing a fantastic South African song called, Shoshkalaya. I'm pretty hopeless, actually.
Shoshkalaya.
I was thinking, Shoshkalaya, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's South African, you know.
Right. So
you have those. You should have those high-pitched women going, which of course nobody can do, but the village choir is just it's an absolute hoot. The other day I got told that not to speak out of turn because this is not a band, this is a choir.
Now, okay, you see, this is
so
there's a difference between having a rock and roll ensemble and being part of a regimented system.
I love it, man. I love being in the back row and not having to make any decisions or learn to it's a team thing. I love teamwork. Yeah. So the sopranos in there, because we're sopranos, altos, tenors, and basses.
I just think it's more mafia people, but anyway, yeah.
No. Think sopranos, singers. Think all Spanish women,
yes,
in ill-fitting tracksuits. And they sing. They are exclusively.
That's a great
sopranos.
Name for a band.
Then
the chicas are in the ill-fitting tracksuits.
The sopranos are up high. They're going hi.
But can you hear that in the background, Kit? That is the sound of bongos, which means we have come to the end of the first half of this rather unusual viewpoint, and we'll be back after...
Time flies, man.
Exactly, we'll be back after the national international news.
TRE. Talk Radio Europe. Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
Welcome back to this rather different viewpoint. As I'm off on my holidays next week, I thought we'd do something different and join in the studio. We're talking about life in general, returning from Blighty from the UK to Spain. Some observations, some obfuscations, whatever we want to say, some obstructions on the way. And I'm joined by Kit Hogg. Kit is still here. He was waxing lyrical about quite before you pedal off in the general direction of all things choral. These are the numbers to get involved with Viewpoint. I will do this twice in the show.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And some comments already in. Ray comes in. It's lovely to hear Kit again. This one in from Christy saying, "Oh, please bring back Kit back. He is so delightfully wordy, a treasure." And he also says, "Shosoloso is a fantastic Zulu working song sung in the mines. Should be the South African rugby anthem with accompanying Zulu dancing. Would tame the haka immediately." We'll talk more a little bit about rugby as well if we got time today. And also, this in, I reiterate all, a delight to hear Kit again and you both together. Ignore the moaners, must have interesting lives. That's from Sheila in Calahonda. So we're back with Kit. Now, there you were.
Thank you, Sheila. And yeah, thanks for the shosholoso. I should have remembered that. In fact, I am typical within the choir of the bass and tenors, who are kind of hopeless men who don't quite know what they're doing.
Is there any other sort of man, I hail the female saying. The thing is, right, there's a certain democracy then, is there? Is there a hierarchy in a choir that we don't get in, because you and I have both crept the boards, or at least inflicted our musical prowess on unsuspecting audiences. You, of course, at one point using a chainsaw, if I remember correctly. That's why we never jammed together, Kit. But
Jarzy, you're making a big mistake here, bud.
Why?
Well, you're confusing a choir with a band.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, I need to, you see, people say, "Oh, well, it's all music." And there is a more subtle difference.
Oh, yeah, and this is what I'm learning. I got slapped down big time for speaking out of turn, as I told you, and I was told in no uncertain terms, "Kit, this is a choir. This is not a band." So hierarchy, we're all plebeian, apart from the choir mistress, who is this wonderful autocratic schoolmistress type. Who absolutely rules the roost.
But aren't we talking benign dictatorships here?
Oh, absolutely. Right. Yeah. It's wonderful to be bossed about and be in the back row. And it is like being back at school.
But
it's
having
like
said that, I mean,
infancy revisited.
In Biagra, for example, will we see the rekindling of Biagra?
Yeah, Biagra are actually playing, the Costa del Sol's number one rock cabaret are actually playing at La Fructuosa in Galicia on Wednesday, the 27th of July.
Right.
Tickets are €10 each.
Are you plugging this, Kit, by any chance?
You asked me, Charles.
Yeah, I did ask. I asked you if they're coming back. I didn't ask you to give a five-hour free plug.
I think,
mate.
I find that took about 40 seconds.
Exactly, okay. But if you're wielding a chainsaw, presumably you...
Chainsaws are too... they're too unwoke.
They're unwoke.
I've actually changed to a leaf blower now.
Yeah, right.
Leaf blowers are so much more fun than chainsaws.
Right,
so
okay.
A running chainsaw, you can actually do damage. I'll always remember starting a running chainsaw at a concert we were doing in a place called Cortes de la Frontera.
I know it, yes.
At a gas station. It was a plinth which served as the stage, and the tables were set out below the plinth, and people were in rather un-PC way smoking cigarettes, leaning on the gas pumps. It was a brilliant
Spain,
evening.
It was Andalusia.
Yeah. So there's this table of fairly uninspired looking middle aged puddingy type people sitting just below, you know, they're not exactly rocking, do you know what I mean?
Middle-aged, uninspiring pudding type
like
people.
Couples, you know, in their 50s and 60s.
Taking that middle-aged pill that people tend, some people take, you mean?
Kind of staring at the band balefully, and I've got a large chainsaw running, you know, at full revs. I'm holding it above my head. This is during Born to be Wild. Above the table. Not in a threatening way, you know,
absolutely
benign.
Is there a way to hold a chainsaw above your head whilst playing Born to be Wild in a non-threatening way?
No, I'm sort of smiling as I'm doing it, you know, and singing at the same time.
That's even more disconcerting.
And, they're just looking up at me with absolutely expressionless, and I'm kind of looking down at them thinking, are you for real? And after the show, I learned that table were the Guardia Constabulary, the Cuartel had that table, and they were sat there, and those guys were getting ever so slightly splattered with chain oil.
Just one thing, also, if you had a permiso, you know, because, you know, fuera de esto es
they loved it, really, man. They were just under.
So let's go back to the fact that you swapped the chainsaw for a leaf blower. Now, I'm going to take you off on a tangent here, because if there was ever 952-78-4000, if there was ever an implement, an instrument, an agricultural, if you like, or perhaps a municipal, working tool that epitomizes both the good and the bad of Spain, I think you hit the proverbial on the head with the inclusion of a leaf blower in your act, because no other instrument brings such fabulous joy for those who wield it, and yet unmitigating horror for those who are on the receiving end. And I don't mean the deciduous leaves, I mean anybody in the area. And why is it always on your morning off at 7 that the leaf blower goes?
I know. We still work in Soto Grande. Actually, there's a law in Soto Grande, you can't start any sort of machine before 8:30, but at 8:30, it's like the dawn chorus.
The anvil chorus with leaf blowers.
The leaf blowers. Start, yeah. But I borrowed for the gig that I'm doing on the 27th of July in La Fructuosa, I've borrowed a leaf blower, because I don't have my leaf blower here. It's still in Wales, waiting to come back. I shall pay duty on it, even though I bought it on Spain.
Yes, exactly.
I'm borrowing one, a really mega one, man, with a rucksack. You know those ones with a rucksack?
Yeah.
And a 2 meter long cannon. Yeah. And if you point that at the ground, it will exert sufficient force so that you actually levitate. They are so strong.
Will you be doing the Dua Lipa song then to leaf blow on levitating? That would be quite something.
Yes.
The agro version of I'm levitating by Dua Lipa.
Pogoing along.
Exactly, because you see them especially in the San Pedro municipality, and I am always reminded of the fabulous James Cameron film Aliens, possibly the only sequel that is on a par to the actual original. And you see them going out there somewhat like the doomed Marines, so, you know, who go down and land on the colony planet, unbeknowing that there are several thousand Nazis about to kill them. But the way they get strapped in with the rucksack and the headphones, so they can, and they are literally going into combat. And they, for a backup, they've also got one of those things that with the twirly, you know, those little electronic vehicles, the street sweepers, they are behind them. And they paddle on quite, you know, aimlessly, you know, laying waste to any particular, and it will be flora, no fauna involved, but they are absolutely giving it 10/10 in a sort of leaf-blowing way.
Yeah, I mean, the leaf blower is simulating almost a flamethrower. You know, you have got that long phallic cannon that is, and it, what it does is it moves people's hair in a very rock and roll way.
I wouldn't know that.
It ever so slightly lifts people's skirts. It blows beer cans off tables, and it only lasts for 30 minutes, and it all 30 seconds rather. It also cools people down.
So you're actually doing this climate service.
Oh yeah. No, it's good. And so, you know, I extol the virtues of the leaf blower over the virtues of a running chainsaw.
Okay.
And no one can call you for health and safety. So yeah. I mean, anyway, going back to jumping into village life.
Yes, sorry.
I have to tell you about this extraordinary village, this extraordinary pueblo called Gaucín, which is a little bit like a third age university. I mean, there's walking groups, there's book clubs, there's bridge, there's pontoon nights. I don't actually play cards. There's art. It's a huge art scene up there.
Yeah.
There's music, of course. It is criticized a little bit for being, you know, expat hoi polloi, but the whole thing works because really because of the village, you know, and the Andalus who live there, who are remarkably unfazed.
But
by this.
The other thing about Gaustin, as opposed to perhaps one of the Pueblos, and this will probably go for Pueblos and Costa Blanca, Gaustin is a little bit back from. It's you make a journey to go to Gaustin. You think, okay, if I'm on the coast, I'm going to Gaustin. It's not like you sort of meander up, you know, 20 minutes up the road and suddenly you're in the Pueblo, you know, something Costa, for example, as opposed to something Pueblo. So Gaustin has always been, and you know, historically Gaustin has been isolated. It is one of the original Pueblos Blancos. It's got its castle on top. You can see why, because of the view, the commanding views over the countryside. So it's always been one of those, not isolated, but in a good way, self-contained in a good way, would you say?
In a way, it's kind of a gateway into, I don't like the word, I don't like the phrase real Spain. It's the Balcón de la Serenía. You wind up this mountain and you look back down over the coast over this absolutely stellar view of the Cristalina on one side and down onto the Costa. You can see Ceuta, you can see North Africa. But behind you is the Serenía and this mystical magic mountain range that stretches all the way to Rome and beyond. It is an extraordinary place. I mean, we moved there in 98 and I'm moving back there I'm not actually moving back to Gaustin itself, but that is another story. One of the things I love about Gaustin, and I think you get this probably in other Andalus pueblos cerca de la costa, like you were saying, you know, places that are a little bit inland. I imagine whether Guadalesco or somewhere like that on the Costa Blanca, I'm trying to think of a parallel. Jesus Pobre, I remember, near Denia being possibly quite like this, is the polarity that you have between expatria and the local and the Spanish people, basically. I remember one evening, quite recently, leaving my flat that I've rented, with no particular place to go, and ran into Joselito. Joselito used to work for me. He has mules. He's a cochero. He picks up, well, he's an arriero. He picks up cork from the trailheads when he's not clearing up palm brush, which he used to do for me. We go up and see his mules. We're ankle deep in mule shit, and we're feeding the mules, and it's very nice to see him. Blah blah blah. We're talking away, and then I say goodbye to him, and I walk down into the pueblo, and 10 minutes later, I'm greeted by two of the poshest women in the world who are eating in a bar and say, "Oh, Kit, do come and join us." So I've moved from one polarity to another, completely randomly, completely unplanned.
Yeah.
And I just was left to reflect on the joys of this place, really.
And but you will tend to find that you're talking about being down in Soto Grande. Yeah. Which is, and I will all, one of the best things that you, there are a couple of outstanding moments that you did on At Home with the Hogs, but there was one where you described being by the wind turbines between Casales and Gaustin and watching the dawn come up or something like that. And it was an absolutely gorgeous piece of writing. I actually stopped the car and listened, which was a beautiful bit of writing and a bit of broadcasting. And the other one was Wake Up Somewhere Amazing, which was the famous advertising slogan of a new development near Soto Grande. I won't name it. And then you thought Waking Up Somewhere Amazing, which was basically on the side of a mountain, you know, on the side suspended upside down by a tightrope or something, 80 foot.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
The thing is, you will, because there is a lack of, some would say, pretension in the villages, and also if you think about the, you know, you say some well-heeled ladies. I mean, I'm just thinking about, you know, the Spanish aristocracy who live in the hills as well. The Duquesa, the late lamented Duquesa de Alba, of course, who famously she was supposed to be able to walk the whole of Spain without leaving her land.
Yes,
and you would find them sort of rocking up in romerías, and in my pueblo we had Princess Gunilla von Bismarck. She had a place, and she was often seen sort of traipsing around in the pueblo as well. So there is that sort of informality. There's not the sense of hierarchy at certain points in the village life.
Yes, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, to start with, I thought I was going to buy a house in the village itself, namely the one I'm actually renting. It's for sale, on the website when I'm checking out what's for sale from the depths of Wales, it looked like a an interesting buy or sensible buy. It's lock up and leave or rent. It's modern with lights that switch on automatically as you walk past. It's got underfloor heating. It's really grown up.
Right.
It's got an ice maker freezer, a community swimming pool with a community charge. I mean, it's quite Marbella-esque, really. And thrown in with the deal, it's fully furnished. It's got a jacuzzi bath, every kitchen appliance known to mankind, plus an Armageddon supply of lavatory paper, and in the garage, a mountain bike, car, and would you believe, a kayak? I could bring my kayak up to your lake.
You could go kayaking. As long as you cleaned it because of the problem with the zebra mollusk, which is something we're dealing with at the moment.
Oh, no, man. What is that?
The zebra mollusk. You see, before we had Elvirus, yeah, because we had Elvirus for a start, right?
Puto viru.
And then before that, I had Elbacteria, which was apparently this fabled bacteria that was, according to the hunter, was killing off.
Hang on, aren't we drinking this water?
No, it's going through a filter.
Oh, okay.
If it was anything like as potent as they've been claiming, trust me, we wouldn't have had any swimming boars on the lake, and I wouldn't be doing this show. 952-78-4000. That's one. My first warning. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Good morning, James Brown.
Morning.
This show from Jason. I'm probably off topic, possibly, because I'm calling in blind, and I just wanted to say something, if I may.
Go for it, Jason.
Okay, so I recently had the pleasure of meeting a rather lovely Russian lady, similar ages to me, and just like me, taking care of my mum. My father recently were in a similar situation, and what I saw was a human being. I did not see a Russian, but I'm speaking to her, made a well hard life in Russia, and that the sanctions that the West employ only make people that are living a more suffered life even more unbearable. It does not affect President Putin per se. It's almost as if people for the act of their leader. I wouldn't be so far, Giles.
I'm with you, Jason, but you're coming in and out of coverage there. So I don't know where you're calling from, but it's drifting in and out. You sound as if you might, huh?
Can you hear me okay now?
Well, yeah, ish, yeah.
Okay. So the Russian lady was feeling the...
Jason, sorry, mate, it's no better. You're coming in. Yeah, Jason, you're going in and out. So sorry, Jason, but thank you very much indeed, Jason. All right, thank you for the call in. Just going to do a quick break here.
This is Talk Radio Europe.
Online at tre.radio.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
If you want to get involved with today's show...
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And that was from the WhatsApp who said, can we have the TRE contact details read out more often? You're evil, some of you lot, right now. Meanwhile, that the comment you said about pudding eaters, somebody said, sounds like the TRE listenership. Thank you very much. Giles, a new name. This is Max Spartacus. I'm Spartacus. No, you're Max Spartacus. Hi, Giles. New name for the show, Butch Kassa and the Sundance Kit. Good show so far. Cheers from Max. Keep cake and carry on. I presume that's calm, but there you go. And the Godfather sequels are pretty much up there too. Yes, talking about Alien and Aliens because of the leaf blowers who think they are in a bit part for Alien. Got a caller on the line, 95278. Oh, blimey, I just cut them off. Well, hey, there you go, kid. It's well, live radio, you know.
If at first you don't succeed,
just cut them off in mid-flow. That's what I say.
Anyway, talk about this flat that I'm living
in. Yes, indeed. With running water and lights and the whole thing.
Absolutely. And the kayak.
The kayak.
But it's all rolled in. These people want out. And it's all in the price.
Right.
But
are they returning back to the UK, then?
Norway.
Oh, Norway. Yeah, okay,
very nice people. And they just want out. And everything is for sale.
Are they pining for the fields?
They're actually, they're
pining for the fields.
I can't quite work them out. They're also golfers.
Okay.
But I think Norway in the summer is gorgeous. This
you
time of year is
big. Yes, you would pine.
So yeah, they do pine for the fields. Yes. I think. I can't live there.
Right.
I've noticed that after a few days, my soul was turning into sort of bleached coral, and I knew actually what I needed was land.
All right, I will go. We'll come back about your search for land. Morning, Corey, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yes, morning, Giles. It's Pomp here.
Ah, morning, Pomp.
Is that Kit's? I've only just tuned in. Is that Kit's voice I can hear?
Yeah, I'm Pompey. How you doing, bud?
How you going? All right.
All right, mate. Yeah.
Now, this phone call, greatly missing your show. Every Saturday morning's never been the same. It must be about three or four years now since you was broadcasting on Saturday morning, wasn't it?
We did our last show on June the 22nd, 2020. So, yeah, over 2 years, yeah, but I am, if they will have me back, I would love to come back and do some broadcasting.
Pompey. Still remembering the lovely Penny, still remembered.
Oh,
now, this is going to sound very strange. Do you remember you used to play out with Blackbird song?
Blackbird.
Do you remember the songs you used to play, the music, the bird song?
The bird song, yeah.
Yeah, it was actually Kate Bush we played out with, a song called, it was off the Aerial album, but right at the very end there was a Blackbird
But you played out, some of the listeners, unless I'm imagining this, you used to play out sometimes a bird song. Well, anyway, since you've stopped that... Every morning, and particularly this is going to sound so strange, every morning we've got blackbirds in our garden, and today they've been driving us absolutely crazy. But every time I hear bird song now, I always think of you and Penny.
So,
you know, take it the way it's intended, but very odd. Since you stopped broadcasting, we've had a family of birds in our garden since then. And I don't know, actually. That's how COVID affected me, was bird song. I have a neighbour across the way from a recreation area across, and he was picking out the birds, etc., during COVID, and I've really got into bird song. But is it normal for birds to have four clutches of eggs a year? I always thought it was just once a year. As I say, I'm not great.
I would have thought not, Pompey. I would have thought just one family a year.
We've had four because it's about 5 metres from our bedroom window. And now, because of the cock and the hen, they just actually won't let us near the tree in the garden. So it's defined our life, etc. So now and again, you might hear my garden, you might hear me swearing at the hogs. But that's another story in itself. Anyway, take care. Nice hearing from you.
Pompey, before you go, I just have to say, chickens lay every day, don't they? They don't lay.
I don't know many lazy chickens.
They don't lay once a year. They lay every day. So it must vary in the bird kingdom.
Indeed.
It has changed, though. If anyone's... I do a lot of gardening, or try and do a lot of gardening. And in Spain, it's totally different from what I used to do in the UK. I actually accused my wife. Sorry, Giles, you've got time for this. Actually put seeds down in the garden. And 2 days later, I said to my wife, "This isn't funny what you're doing." And she says, "What?" I said, "Obviously, you've put seedlings in because they're 2 inches high after a couple of days," which I just find amazing. Gardening's a different... Well, I'm telling you, gardening's a different thing over here. But yeah, COVID, since then, I think a lot of people... And maybe that's a positive we can take out of COVID. How long it will last, being human beings, I don't know. But, you know, you've got to be aware of the environment now. So maybe that's a positive we can take out of it. Anyway, I'll let you get on, and it's good hearing your voice, mate.
Yeah, okay, but you have a
thanks
good
day. Thanks very much, Pompey. Take care. Life's lines again. They're going a bit wild this morning. It's the Kit Hog Appreciation Society. Can I help you?
Giles, do we have comms?
Yeah, we have comms, Jason, but we're talking...
Right, okay.
I'm joined
How
by
are
Kit.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm very well,
you
thank
okay?
you. Yeah.
Okay, a rare contribution to the show. I've got 7% left on my battery, but it's possibly enough to convey what I want to say, so it may as well be worthwhile. Recently, I bumped into a Russian lady, probably off subject, and I was made painfully aware of how the sanctions are affecting normal people, both in Russia, and a certain discrimination that's starting to impact on the normal people. And I stood back from this, and I thought to myself that why do we blame normal people for the actions of leaders or dictators? Because people are people. In this Russian lady, I saw a person. I did not see a Russian. I saw a human being. That's the first point. And to back this up, I would say in Mali, sanctions don't work. They've removed those. and also the fallout from the earthquake in Afghanistan, when politics interfere with humanity, then aid is not sent for political reasons, when people, normal people, are suffering. So whatever people say about this, fundamental is wrong. Sanctions affect normal people, and they are cruel, okay? Because it goes, I'm not on the side of Russia, I'm not on the side of the West, I suppose I'm on the side of humanity and the environment, which has also been kicked into touch because all the fossil fuel agreements that were made have been reneged upon, okay? And she also made me painfully aware of all the Russian soldiers that are dying every day. And many of them don't want to be there, many are conscripts. And the problem is, we need to be careful that we do not... Are you still there, Giles?
I'm still here.
We need to be careful we do not fall into the same trap of propaganda from the West. Because we've got President Putin on the ropes now, and we'd be crazy to let him off them, because NATO is expanding. It's best PR stunt that was ever made. This Vietnam has created himself. Europe wants to expand, and maybe a regime change is in the future.
Right.
So we need to be careful in the West also that we don't lose our humanity. Because when we lose our humanity in a conflict and become partisan and only see what we're fed, equally, we are guilty of the same...
Jason.
Nonsense and same SHIT that the rest of the world gets to fed. That's what I wanted to say, that people are people... And retribution and violence rarely solves anything. All it does is begets more violence, and humanity is a casualty at the end of the day. And in this case now, Sir David Attenborough has even been ignored. The planet has been sacrificed.
Jason,
when he can't afford to be. Is
thank
that
you.
Enough said?
That's enough said. Thanks very much, Jason. You called in blind
thank
on
you.
That one,
bye
so thanks very much indeed. Jason, calling in blind by, as Richard said, indeed. You know my thoughts on this one, so I will just let that one go. Meanwhile, let's just go back to some of the stuff coming in. Hi, guys. Loving hearing Kit back on air again. Relief Blowers and their racket driving folk up the wall. Please note, Sam at Arbalista can't bear them either, so they are using electric ones now, and that's silence. We want Kit back doing a show, quote unquote, and also, hi, Diane from Mallorca. We all miss you, Kit. Should we sing a couple of choruses of We Are the World just to get people in? And you can do that in your choir.
Yes, Dad, absolutely. Thank you, Giles. I'm actually going to write that down because the selection we have at the moment is pretty dire. We Are the World. What a great suggestion.
Well, no, that or, you know, as long as you don't do Bambolero, which one I should start throwing things. Anything by age. You know, I've been thinking about, because you know of my
Bambolero would work.
I'm sure it would do.
Bambolero!
The one you want is the All My Loving, which was done in the 70s by some Spanish group, which I can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
Los Chiquis or Los Chicos, yes, or something. Yes. All My Loving. That's a great one.
These are great suggestions.
And I'm also thinking, of course, you know my irrational hatred of Ed Sheeran, you know, because I do think he's the work of Satan, you know, and anything he touches goes completely. I mean,
I just think of something about Ed Sheeran. He looks so normal and so unsexy, and
yeah,
I kind
he's
of
worth 52 million
I know, so and therefore. I kind of like that.
Do you?
Yeah, that anyone who
do
can
really?
Look anyone who can look
I don't want
so
my rock stars to look normal. I want my rock stars to look like rock stars. I'm just finishing reading Strange Fascination, the biography of Bowie. I mean, I want, you know, Ed Sheeran wouldn't do it like
that. Yeah, Strange Fascination.
Strange Fascination. Yeah, all right. Somebody's saying, please don't sing, Kit.
Fascinating.
All right, yes, all right.
Why is Ed Sheeran? What does that say
why
about
is Ed Sheeran? Exactly.
What does that say about our society? Someone looking like Ed Sheeran can be so successful.
Yeah, it says that we are being raised on the bland, etc. And you know that's. I'm actually thinking of forming a punk band to do thrash versions of Ed Sheeran songs. 3 minutes. I mean, 3 minutes max.
It must be about the songs, Charles.
Call it Dead Sheeran.
He writes good songs.
He doesn't write good songs. He hits three chords and then there's this white guy rap in the middle of it. I'm sorry. The only person to successfully do a white person worth to do a rap is Debbie Harry and Blondie. Herein endeth the lesson. Back after this.
This is Talk Radio Europe.
Online at tre.radio.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
And we're back. Edge, quote unquote, Ed Sheeran looks like he's about to do a shift at Greg's. Thank you. Meanwhile, Gary says, my wife said all the best to her from Kit, and I got a slap for wishing all the best from me and not us. Julie, she's in on the Ed Sheeran punk band, Dead Sheeran. You heard it here first. Also, tell Kit to have the leaf blower on standby after the Ed Sheeran rant. Okay, Jason, that makes... I don't know why bother calling into Viewpoint. My humanity and opinions have become our irrelevant, Mr. Ritson. Okay. Meanwhile, Linda says, morning, I should be working, but just keep on listening to you and Kit. Good to hear Kit again. So eloquent and funny, just like your good self. Thank you, Linda. Thank you very much indeed. 9527 84000. We're talking property with Kit.
Yeah, so I was talking about my soulless... the place I'm living in, which I've realized that I need land. And I was put that was put very succinctly by my Scottish son-in-law, who said he said to me, you don't want to live in the village. You need to be able to walk out of your front door stark beep naked and take a beep. And isn't he right? I mean, that is a metaphor for so much. That is a metaphor for space, serenity, one's own privacies. And if you do that in the village, you do raise an eyebrow, i.e. walk out of your front door, stark beep, naked, yes, and take a beep. So, reflecting on that profundity, I've started to look for land. And if you've ever looked for land in the campo, you know what a minefield it is. I bought 4 Spanish fincas, so I know this pretty well. So here are the things you need to consider, and Charlesy, please feel free to interject. Boundaries, super important. Yeah. Boundaries. And on the other side of your boundaries, neighbours. At least you hope your neighbours are on the other side of your boundaries and not on your side of the boundary. And how are the fences, by the way? Will your trees be ring-barked by marauding goats? Will your dog escape? Water. Is your well legal? What irrigation do you do? Or who do you share your water with? Neighbours again. Rights of way, servidumbre de paso. Do you have legal access to your place? And do other people have a right of way through it? Nearby developments. Is the nice empty plot next to yours scheduled for a wind farm, a solar park, or an urbanisation even? Or is the valley you're buying into about to be dammed and flooded for some distant golf course? And we haven't even mentioned any buildings, Registro de Propiedad, Premio Licencia de Ocupación, or DAFO, as quirky as the campo properties themselves, and no doubt shaped by living there. Other people selling them, some of whom are frustratingly unmotivated. Others, like returning expats, are simply desperate to sell. I've met a few over the past few weeks. The owner of a new-build faux castle who told me that he wanted the entire price, €400,000, in cash. A recently bereaved artist with 14 cats, whose place was so badly fractured by subsidence, half of it would need to be demolished. On a riverside finca, a Tai Chi master who gained local fame for practicing the form in rising floodwater, but whose commune dispersed after he made an impropitious advance to a female student. A proprietor who, on my second visit to her place, ignored my attempt to discuss the peculiarities of her finca and actually make her an offer, and treated me with bark flower remedies for... Guess what she treated me for?
Can I have pick and mix? Can I have multiple guests?
Give me, man.
All right. So she treated you for...
She's like looking at me in this perceptive way. Yeah. I'm trying to make her an offer. And she's giving me this kind of alternative gaze.
Toenail fungus?
No, it's more about my aura.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I mean, my aura, my karma ran over my dogma, so I wouldn't know exactly what. Go on. I mean, I'm about as, you know, into... My chakras haven't been aligned since I don't know, the Deep Purple concert at Estepona. And I took my chakras and dumped them somewhere near Sabinius.
Yeah, your chakras aren't aligned.
Yeah. Go on, then. What was it?
She treated me for obsession with oscillating thought patterns. That was one of my
obsession with oscillating thought patterns.
Well, interesting one that.
Okay.
If you get, you know, when you're worried about something, like say in an extreme
lack of coffee,
you can't sleep at night, and the thought's going. Dum,
Yeah. What I did when I was 17.
Yeah, but it keeps looping.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's an oscillating thought pattern.
All right, then.
And I'm susceptible to those. Welcome to
Holistic with the Hog, by the way.
She treated me for perennial displacement from the present moment, which means that I'm always thinking, I'm never here now.
Welcome to my world, Kit.
Yeah, really. I mean, this is the human condition, actually.
Yeah.
And interestingly, she treated me for a frozen heart.
Okay.
Wow, which was like super deep.
Yeah.
And I went there to buy her finca.
Yeah, yeah.
So I come away with a bark remedy.
A bark remedy?
Remedy, sort of eucalyptus bark. I can't remember what else.
Cork, perhaps.
It's a mix of three things in a small bottle to cure me from those of those defects.
Was she out a wing of bat and eye of newt at the same time?
Yeah, but it was just so sweet.
Was there cannabis oil involved?
No, there was no cannabis
oil. CBD oil involved somewhere up there.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's right. No, there wasn't.
But, all right.
And another person I met, a man whose house was overshadowed by an outside palace next door belonging to a Putin-esque Marbella lawyer who he claimed was actually a really nice guy. These are people trying to sell me their property.
Right.
Yeah? And most bizarrely, the Swedish grandmother, who's the owner of a gorgeous finca where we spent a couple of hours. You know, when you're just looking for a place. I'm looking for a new home, yeah? This is a big deal for me.
Sure.
I've been a refugee for 2 years. So walking around this gorgeous place, and you think you've arrived in heaven. I mean, there's gardens and orchards.
You can see yourself there.
That is the whole trip of looking for a place. You have to imagine living there, and this place I really could imagine living there. There was water rushing in a nearby arroyo. This was a while back there were nightingales going ballistic. It's like Pompey's Blackbirds.
Ballistic Nightingales, there's a punk band we need.
I mean, gorgeous, you know, liquid song. There's jasmine, orange blossom, and a pearl white wisteria hanging from the roof terrace with a view. And it was on that terrace, in a moment of almost choking emotion, that I said to my daughter, who was with me, I said, "Babes, I think we found it." And she said, "Yeah, this place is special." And as she said that, a bee hovered between us on its way to dock at another bower of wisteria. I mean, it was like amazing. It was like pure El Dorado. So I surfaced from this reverie and I said to the seller, who'd been completely mute, this septuagenarian Swedish lady, I said, when you sell, are you heading back to Sweden? I said, and so she goes, I don't know, maybe I go over there," she said. And she was pointing to the second of her two houses, which was 50 metres away.
Right.
I shot an Are You For Real glance at the estate agent. And then the Swedish lady went on, she said, "Yes, I could subdivide the property you could have this house and I could have that one over there." So, I mean, this was a suggestion that was kind of like a lead balloon, because A, I'd have a neighbour at close quarters I hadn't bargained on, her, and B, I'd lose any rental income that I might depend upon because the seller would be living in the house I wanted to rent out. So, and then she sort of meandered on. She goes, but it's hard to subdivide a finca. And so now it's like totally unravelling, and I turn into John Cleese. I go, I know. You and I could get married, and then we could live in the same house. We could live together in this house, and we could rent that house over there, and we wouldn't have to subdivide. But this was completely lost on her. So the Swedish humour doesn't kind of extend to anything quite that Cleesian. And she's, in any case, sort of fishing in her apron and pulls out something half-smoked and said, "Who would like some marijuana?"
Right.
So these are the kind of things that you come up with when you're trying to buy a country property. It's not only the strictures of looking for an access, water, boundaries and things like that. It's the actual people who have been warped and moulded by these places through years of isolation. Anyway, I've sort of refine my search now, because camper property around Galsine is so expensive. I transferred my attention to a pueblo in a further valley, 20-minute drive down the mountain. I've just been talking to Annalise in reception here at TRE. She actually knows this place. She's actually been there. Have you been here, Charlesy? It's called El Colmenar.
Yeah, Colmenar, yeah.
You know that?
I know of it, yes.
Okay.
The elders speak of such a place.
Yes, it's called El Colmenar, the Beehives, also known as Estación Galcín by virtue of its origins
as
a train station on the Algeciras to Ronda Line.
Mr. Henderson's railway.
Exactly. Nowadays, sadly, rail traffic is mainly freight, and only 4 passenger trains a day stop at Estación Galcín, which is something of a disenfranchisement that lends the pueblo a sort of end-of-the-road type feeling. It's a bit like being trapped in a Gabriel Garcia Marquez novel, you know, like 100 Years of Solitude, that kind of thing. And it sleeps on the banks of the Guadiaro River. It's stepped in soft palisades of flat roofs, verandas and sombreros, gaping in the heat. It's about 500 souls live here. There are 2 bars, 1 restaurant, 2 cupboard-sized shops, a post office that opens for half an hour in the morning, and a bank that's permanently closed. There isn't even any money in the cajero. It's a completely useless place. There's a retreat center offering silence, Reiki, and tantric yoga. And from the forest, there's sort of a whiff of the movie Deliverance. It's kind of water wars going on. The forest climbs the west side of the valley in a spread of cork that is the 5th greatest expanse of trees in Western Europe. And that's where I'm looking.
Right, sounds... The whiff of Deliverance would, I mean, if you hear the sound of banjos, dueling banjos, run for it, basically.
That's... Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the rivers are like echoing bird songs. I mean, again, nightingales. God, they're noisy, the nightingales. There's pecans and macadamias growing in a sort of subtropical let-go. I mean, you could be in Central America. I mean, indeed, being in El Colmenar feels a bit like an immersion in... Have you heard of... a guy called Graham Robb, he's written a book called The Vanished World of Small Places.
No, I haven't, but this sounds amazing.
I have never read him either. I just love that phrase.
What was it again?
The Vanished World of Small Places.
It's an interesting thing, because you say in these small places, but if you head inland from anywhere in Spain, Alpujarras, for example, you will find these small vanishes.
Isn't that the joy of Spain, man?
But you will find somewhere doing Reiki and meditation and finding my chakras. It's currently loitering somewhere in the Sabanillas after the Deep Purple concert. And that sort of thing. It is quite remarkable. And Ibiza, because people think of Ibiza as being all sort of lager, but you go back in, you know, you go not very far
from the coast,
and then you are in deep meditative country.
Yeah, it's an endless intimacy in just going in to the hinterland,
but this
and,
is the thing.
And uncovering these gems.
And there's been a campaign by the central government to get people to, you know, after what we have been through, you know, this, that, and the other, as we refer to it. And to get people to go back into the pueblos, because, you know, people have discovered the joy of you know, we've had slow cooking, we've had slow this and slow that and the other, but slow life. And there is something, and you know this and I know this, there is something deeply comforting about pueblo life and being part of a comunidad, be it an artistic one like you're saying, the Galcines, but Galcines still has that Cien Andalu life as well,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, away from the art galleries and the sculptures thing.
It's there is authenticity.
Yeah,
persists.
Exactly.
Yes.
And when I remember the first time I walked through my pueblo in Istan 10 years ago, having lived up in Umladero in Antiquera for 2.5 years, and I could feel the curtains twitching behind me then, and I thought, we're back. You know, we're back in that thing where every abuela knows you, where you're from, and, you know, where, you know, esto que es, and et cetera, you know, and donde eres, and that sort of thing, and you explain, and suddenly everybody knows you, because you're I say I'm in the Casita del Lago, and they go, no, you're in the Casa Rosa, because 30 years ago, 40 years ago, that house was painted pink, and so therefore it's the Casa Rosa.
It's still the Casa Rosa. Yeah, so, yeah, yeah, yeah. Have I got time to tell you about Pablo? Or
we've
not?
Got 7 minutes.
Yeah. So I have got time to tell you
got
about
more
Pablo.
Than enough time.
So this is El Colmenar, and this is one of the guys I met in El Colmenar on a very early visit. His name was Pablo. And I'm not unsure how typical he is of the village, but his story's worth telling. So I'm dining alone in El Colmenar's premier restaurant. It's called El Rincón de Cani. And I'm having this delicious entrada of quail pâté with a garnish of Pedro Ximénez, thick, sweet wine on top of really quite a salty pâté with just dry toast. Oh, so it's class, man. Absolute class.
Don't get that on Snowden, do you?
Like, unmessed with food, you know what I mean? Really simple ingredients, but quality. When a man in his late 50s walked in, and apropos of nothing, he bent forward to show me two scarred dents on the top of his bald head. And that was because, and I was at a loss for words, but that was of no consequence because Pablo began the story of his life without drawing breath. The depressions on his pate were due to an operation, which was an attempt to correct some genetic cerebral imbalance that had proved terminal for three of his siblings. And were now, the effects of this operation were now causing him bouts of giddiness that meant he could no longer work. So I asked him what his work was, and he produced his mobile to display an array of pictures with him at the controls of a large yellow excavator.
Right.
Which he can't do anymore, you know.
Because like, if you're giddy.
Because he feels giddy, yeah. And it's like, oh my God, he's only in his 50s, so sad. But no hint of self-pity, you know, just matter of fact. So I said, well, look, what do you do now? You don't work. And he said, well, I walk. I walk here and there and back again. And then he yells at the guy in the back, Antonio, trae me un café, hombre. And Antonio comes out with a coffee. And the guy and Pablo then says, I'm just so bored. I'm bored out of my mind. And I said to him, well, at least you've got a beautiful forest to walk in. He said, no, I can't walk in the forest because I might fall over and who would find me? So I'm just here in the Pueblo. So he just walks from one end of the Pueblo to the other. And then he went on to tell me his more deeper history, that he's the 15th of 16 children. His parents had migrated from Granada with six children. They settled in Bilbao, where they had a further 10, and he was one of them. And I wondered, actually, if the parents were beneficiaries of a sort of Franco fertility incentive. But the enormous family became local celebrities in Bilbao. And Pablo scrolled his phone again to show me a photo of a 1970s Bilbao newspaper cutting, a sort of fuzzed photo of mum, sideburned dad, of course,
the 70s, yeah, yeah.
With all his kids in a row, all 16 of them. And Pablo goes, that's me there. He said, pointing to a small boy in the middle. And then he drained his coffee and said, where me voy? I said, are you going home? He said, no. And he said, I'm going walking. He just disappeared into the night.
It's funny the people who move, immigrantes from various regions, you know.
Yes.
Like, you know, there is a tradition of people from Andalusia going out.
Looking for work. There was no, you know, in the 70s, and so, 60s and 70s, there was no work. I mean, I think originally people went to Germany.
And Belgium, and for the mines.
Yeah. And then
Mineros.
And up north.
Yeah.
Interesting, Pablo went to Bilbao. I have a friend in Galcine who spent 19 years, 19 winters consecutively cutting eucalypt in near Santander. Amazing that he survived, actually, his felling techniques.
Avant-garde felling techniques. This is from D. Morning, Giles. It's great to hear Kit thoughts and anecdotes. Any chance to cover your show next week? Ah, yes, that'd be a thought. Every cat covering my shows every day as I'm away on thing. But Jer's going to be manfully standing in next week.
I couldn't handle the pressure.
Pressure? Just sitting here draining coffees together. 952-78-4000. Looking at... all right, Giles. Re-dueling banjos. Add to that the Ed Sheeran effect, and there's no hope for anyone. Be afraid. Yes, indeed. Yes, and just looking at some more bits and pieces coming in this morning. I think that's all we have with us this morning. I've done that one. And some more stuff saying how much they're really enjoying. Have your dulcet tones back with it. If you want to get a final message, citation, or just failed threat to us, here are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And I'm here with a very special sort of personal viewpoint with myself, Giles Brown, and Kit Hobb, making a welcome return to the airwaves.
Yeah, Gilesy, I have to thank you, A, for having me on your programme, and B, for making some pretty cogent suggestions as to how we can liven up the Corps de Galsine, the Galsine Choir. If anybody has any suggestions, if you have any suggestions as to good choir songs, maybe you're part of a village choir and you sing a particularly good song, because some of our repertoire is pretty
smells
dreary.
Like Teen Spirit. I advise the Paul Anka album.
Like
no, honestly, I advise.
I'm
the
loving
Paul
We Are the World. That's a brilliant. We could do a rendition of that now. We could close the show with that.
You could close.
We are the world.
All right, yeah. No more singing Kit. That's what we've been told. That I haven't got the mic set up. You know what it's like. We didn't even talk about the rugby. We were about to go on a massive rant about sport, but just to say...
Well, Spanish rugby, yeah, that is a whole story.
However, playing, you know, the Coy, I was looking for Coy and then I saw Matthew and I thought, oh, it must be his real name. And, you know, the heir to the Hog Millions is currently... Is he in Canada at the moment?
He's in Canada now, for the moment, playing for La Selección de España this Saturday.
Congratulations.
Against Canada, who are probably ranked... They're probably ranked quite similarly to Spain. I'm not quite sure where they would be ranked. Maybe 12th and 13th in the world rankings. Should be a great game. Playing in Ottawa, which is actually where I was born.
Wow.
Yeah.
So...
I've given Coyby the address of the hospital that I was born in. It's on a place called Russell Street.
Right.
And it's probably too tedious for words. So I don't think you'll go there.
The circle is completed, Kit. Well, this circle is completed because we're almost out of time, because we're about to hear the sound of bongos, which isn't a cue for you to burst into a rousing chorus of...
Bongos.
Bongos. The bongos that mean we've come to the end of this viewpoint. Thanks very much for all the calls in, good, bad and indifferent. It's been my privilege and my pleasure to share this microphone with Kit Hobb.
My great privilege to be here, Chelsea. Thank you so much. And everyone have a brilliant day and look forward to speaking to you soon.
This show will be repeated at 7 o'clock tonight. Stephen Ritson is up next.
The views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.